Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of Cover Your Assets KC, the podcast that helps you get a little bit smarter when it comes to the financial world and hopefully helps you plan a little bit better for your retirement future. Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens, president and wealth advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you in Kansas City and throughout the surrounding communities with an office in Overland Park. Check us out online at coveryourassetskc.com. David, you ready for another great show today?
I think I'm all ready for a great show today, Walter. We've got a kind of a fun topic. Election year, and we covered the election recently, so let's cover a little Social Security today.
Don't they call it the third rail of politics?
Right? Yeah. You bet they do.
Social Security. Don't mess with it, or you're going to get in trouble, or you're in for a shock is maybe even a better punny way to say that. Yes, I think it's a good question to ask, though. What is Social Security's future with everything that's going on in the world today, with the way that we are predicting maybe taxes to, become a bigger and bigger deal into the future, the national debt? Social Security has always been kind of this lightning rod for attention, and it doesn't seem like that's changing anytime soon, David.
No, it is a major piece of a whole lot of Americans' retirement income. Now, if you work hard and you put away a lot of money for yourself, then Social Security ends up being a lot smaller piece. But for a bunch of Americans without Social Security, it would be a super tough time in retirement.
Absolutely. All right. So what are the major goals that we want to cover on today's show when we start thinking about Social Security's future? Because I know this is a topic that if we went and listened to all of our previous shows, we've talked about Social Security before in the past, but I would imagine with everything that's going on right now, we can kind of put this discussion into a new light.
Yeah, I think so. So what got me thinking about it is this is Social Security's 85th birthday. It's been around a long time, and there have been a bunch of major changes to it, most of which have been, adding goodies, like adding ornaments onto a Christmas tree. And every 3 or 4 or 5 years, the politicians add some more money on. And that has just made it a super expensive federal benefit program. And so I thought we'd just deconstruct it a little bit today, know how we got to where we are, and then throw out some ideas as to things that I think they might do to make it different in the future, hopefully better, hopefully more sound, but what that would mean to our wide variety of listeners.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about then the future of Social Security. How are we going to keep this thing going? And we always hear that it's in trouble. Is it really the case?
Yeah, so if you go onto their website, they'll tell you that they're going to run out of money, so to speak, in 2034. So if you're in your 50s, and 60s, I would expect that probably doesn't mean much of any change to you. Because there really is no Social Security trust fund. We've always heard that term knocked around. But Social Security is basically a pay-as-you-go social benefit. And for years, there were way more workers than there were beneficiaries. So there was more money coming in than they spent. Well, the federal government spent that money and gave them treasury notes and bills and bonds in return. So there's no real trust fund there. It's just a bunch of money that the U.S. government owes the Social Security fund. So I think what's going to happen, actually, before we get into that, Walter, why don't we just do, since it's been around for 85 years, let's just take a really quick look at how we got here. And I think then that'll frame up the future changes for our listeners.
A little history lesson.
I'm going to try to keep it brief, but I find it pretty fascinating. It was created in 1935. FDR, President Roosevelt, created it as part of his, Big New Deal. In 1940, they started sending out monthly checks to retirees. Back then, there were about 42 workers for each retiree. And back then, 65 was the youngest that you could draw benefits. And life expectancy was 67. So you were only going to get those benefits for a couple of years. Today, there's only 3 workers for every 1 retiree. You can start getting benefits at 62, and your life expectancy now, once you're that age, your life expectancy is about 85. So this thing has morphed into from a program that, frankly, very few people were ever going to get money out of, into a really major government program that supports people for 20 years in their retirement. So we all know politicians love to give away money, and Social Security keeps growing. So in 1939, they expanded the program to include dependents and survivors of those workers who were accruing benefits. Now, I got to admit, when I was in, my father died right before my junior year in college, and I was one of those dependents who got a monthly check from Social Security, and that's what helped me get through college. So that was a cool benefit, started way back in 1939, and I personally benefited from that. In 1950, that was the first time that a cost of living increase was discussed and implemented. It was a one-time thing, but they'd gone from 1940 to 1950 with no increase, and all of a sudden in 1950, everybody got a 77% increase. Then in 1956, they expanded it to cover disabled children of workers. In 1961, they moved the age from 65 back to 62. In 1965, I know we've discussed this on a prior podcast, they included divorced wives. So if you've been married for more than 10 years, when you retire, you can, and let's say you were a stay-at-home spouse, in this case, a wife, you can claim on your ex-husband's work record as long as you didn't get remarried. A couple years later, there were some divorced men that said, hey, wait a minute, my wife was the big earner. What about me? And so then they included divorced husbands. In 1975, they included, they tied the cost of living increase, made it annual, and they tied it to the consumer price index. And then a big change came along in 1981, and I think this is where we're headed sometime in the next 5 or 10 years. President Reagan created this National Commission on Social Security Reform. He and Tip O'Neill, Democrat who was running the House, who was the Speaker of the House.
It's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Well, yeah, because he's been dead for a while. But those guys knew something has to happen here. And we don't really like each other, but if we create this commission, I think it was called the Greenspan Commission. That was Greenspan's first deal before he took over the Fed. They got together and created some recommendations that got implemented in 1983, and they were pretty big. So if you think right now, depending on your age, you either reach full retirement age at age 66 or age 67. So if you were born after 1960, your full retirement age is 67, not what used to be 65 and then became 66. And the other thing they did was they started making Social Security income taxable. So before 1983, your Social Security payments when you retired, they were not taxable. But now, of course, most people realize, oh, yeah, that's going to go into my taxable income as long as I have over, let's just say, $25,000 or $30,000 of other income. So there's a complicated formula in there somewhere. So those are big changes, and those are probably a blueprint for what they're going to do with the next commission, whatever that's made up of. And I'm going to cover some thoughts on that at the end of the podcast. The other major change that I can think of that came about was in 2000. President Clinton eliminated something called the retirement earnings test. And so they used to have this test that said, well, you have to be essentially retired before you can get Social Security. In other words, you shouldn't be having another job. And if you are, well, you don't get Social Security yet. What they did in 2000 was say, after your full retirement age, you can make as much money as you want, and it won't affect your Social Security benefits. So what's happened over time is a program that was supposed to reach very few people and kind of be emergency retirement funds and not last very long has morphed into this very large program that sucks up significant amounts of dollars and is a, I think I used the Christmas tree word picture earlier in the podcast, but it's something they like to occasionally hang a new ornament on in the way of a new giveaway to a new group of people.
I like that. Lots to absorb through Social Security's history, although I kind of take that as there's some comfort in that, I guess, in a way, David, in that, you know what, Social Security doesn't look now what it used to look like. It's been through many iterations before, so there's comfort in knowing that there's probably going to be some future changes as well, but it's not like this thing's been set in stone since day one.
Correct. It has morphed. Most, you know, depending on where you sit, mostly for the good. It certainly benefited people in our society who need the most help. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably going to be the case. I get the question a lot. So is Social Security going to run out of money?
The number one question.
Well, the answer is, heck yes, it's going to run out of money. Arguably, as a pay-as-you-go system, it's already giving out more than it's bringing in. So you could kind of sort of say it's already out of money. But the probably the bigger question is, are they going to reduce my benefits? And I think the answer is, because politicians are loath to take things away from the electorate that they've already given them. And so if you're listening to this podcast and you're 50 or 55 or 60 years old, I would say it's highly likely that you are not going to have a reduction in benefits. Now, if you've done significantly well for yourself, they might put in some means testing. But for the vast majority of Americans that are over 50, they are unlikely to make major changes to the benefits you would expect from Social Security.
That is comforting to know that people won't be motivated to let Social Security run out, or as you said, maybe the better question, will they change my benefit or adjust that to the negative? Going to be hard to move politicians in that direction, no matter how much back and forth we have on this topic, that is for sure. Now, through your history, you were talking about 1981 with that new national commission. Let's assume that there will be, you know, something like that again. What are the likely fixes to some of Social Security's problems, and does that affect the average retiree and pre-retiree?
Yeah, so that's, you know, the trillion-dollar question. I'll bet that they do have some sort of commission. I don't know what they'll call it, and I don't know who will be on it, but it'll be a bipartisan way to give everybody who's voting some cover to actually get some needed reforms through. So probably what happens, the full retirement age, which of course used to be 65, now the highest it can be is 67 if you're born after 1960. My guess is that full retirement age gradually goes up, especially for the younger people in our population. It probably goes up from age 67 to maybe as high as age 70, because we're all living longer. And so this benefit is likely to start later and later the younger you are. Another change that I'm super confident, because Vice President Biden, who's running for president right now, already said that he's going to make people who earn more, over $400,000 a year, pay more. I discussed this in more detail in a podcast we did on potential outcomes for your portfolio based on elections. So I don't want to go into it in detail here. But everybody listening to this podcast probably knows that once you make over about $137,000 in a year, you don't pay any more into Social Security. And that makes sense because the amount of Social Security payments you can get when you're retired are capped. But what Biden is talking about is between, say, $137,000 and $400,000, you still won't pay any more in. But once you're a significantly high earner, he's basically going to add a new tax, 6.2%, that you'll pay into Social Security for every penny you earn over $400,000 in a particular year. So I think taxes are going up, especially for high earners. And then lastly, Walter, one other thing I can think about that almost certainly has to happen. Right now, the most of your Social Security that can be taxed is 85% of it. So to use totally round numbers, let's say your Social Security is $10,000 a year. The most of that can be taxable is $8,500 at whatever your tax rate is. I'm confident one of the easiest things they can do is to raise that up to 100%. Mm-hmm. So at some point in the future, your Social Security is going to be totally taxable, like your pension income, like the money that comes out of your 401k, like all the other income that you earn when you're retired.
To me, it's almost surprising that we haven't gotten to that point yet, because that's one of those messages that's hard to really show people the impact of in a headline, in a quick headline. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be, that'd be easy to slide through because it's hard to explain, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense.
It's easy to say.
Nobody ever gets to the second paragraph.
Right. We're cutting your benefit. That's an easy one to understand. But to say, we're just going to raise the taxability of your account from 85% up 15% more. It's like, okay, I don't really understand quite what that means off the top of my head, but sure, go ahead. That didn't sound too bad.
I think the two main responses would be, wait a minute, right. You mean my Social Security is taxable?
Right, there you
go.
And
the other people would say, oh, well, I thought it was already 100% taxable.
Exactly, yeah, so go ahead and do it, fine. at least that one would be slightly easier to slide by, but yes. Yes, interesting. All right, so it sounds like It's not going away. It's not disappearing. Even if it technically is running out of money, it's not going to be completely gone. But to fix Social Security, it's going to cause us other problems, and that's what we need to be prepared for.
I think that's right. So the takeaways from me on this, if I was a listener instead of who I am, but as a listener to this podcast, here are the takeaways that I'd have on this. I think you need to have a plan for how and when you're going to take Social Security, especially if you're in your 50s and 60s. You have some choices as to when you're going to start. But if you're even younger, it's really important to have a view as to what role Social Security is going to play in your retirement income plan. So especially for 30 and 40 and 45-year-old listeners, you might choose to save and invest, and I would encourage you to choose to save and invest as if it's going to go away. I don't believe it's going to go away. But if you choose to save and invest for your retirement as if it was going to go away, you're highly likely to accomplish your goals because you're a goal-driven person. And if you accomplish those goals without Social Security, then your retirement will be that much better with Social Security. So I'm convinced it's going to be there, but I don't know at what age you'll be able to get it, and I don't know how taxable it would be. So I would say make sure you have a plan, know where it fits into your plan, and then keep working on your plan.
Makes a lot of sense, David, as always, and good discussion for sure. Congrats to Social Security for making it 85 years old this year. As you said, happy birthday, and we'll see if it's still kicking at 100. We'll find out. It may look a little bit different when it gets there, but it's the case for all of us 15 years later. We'll have to see what good shape and form it's in by then. If you have any questions about something we've talked about today or need some assistance developing your own financial and retirement plan, if you haven't gone down that road before, ask David about the CPR process, the complete planning review that you can get with the team at KC Financial Advisors. Call 913-317-1414 to get in touch. That's 913-317-1414. And you can also go online to coveryourassetskc.com. That's coveryourassetskc.com. Thanks for tuning in to the show today. For David Dickens, I'm Walter Storholt, and we'll talk to you on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.